Now, I've been talking to a parent, a Wicklow parent, this morning, who tells me that she actually sent out a message on social media to other parents in her children's school, alerting them to this Momo challenge, which seems potentially to be very dangerous indeed. It involves downloading an image of an animated woman and engaging with users on WhatsApp, who then issue a number of challenges. And it has been linked to a number of deaths of young people in other countries, and has led to fresh concerns that it is becoming popular among children and teenagers here. And on the line, I'm joined by clinical psychotherapist Joanna Fortune. Good morning, Joanna.
Good morning, Valerie. How are you?
Great, and thank you very much for joining us this morning. Now, first of all, the image that's being used on this is not an image that was cooked up for this particular show, for this particular game. It's actually an artwork, and it's part of a picture of a bird in reality.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is just such a good example again, and it's one, we've had issues like this similar before that are potentially very dangerous, but it's another really sharp reminder to parents that we have to be vigilant about what our children are accessing online, and what might seem seemingly innocent and safe can have these darker aspects embedded into them, because a lot of children are stumbling across this game, this image, when they're actually watching something completely unrelated.
So it's just coming up on their Facebook?
It's coming up on particularly YouTube videos as well, and anyone who's watching, say, a little cartoon or a little short, there have been reports where this image pops up and then the child clicks or does something with it, be that consciously or inadvertently touches it, and then they're engaged with this game, so to speak, which then takes them from there onto WhatsApp. It's also been messaging children on WhatsApp, and that's when it begins to become very sinister indeed and encouraging children to harm themselves.
But what's the point behind this game, Joanna? Is somebody making money?
Well, it's hard to know, is there a monetary aspect to it? I mean, sometimes people do this to see, can they go viral? There's a thrill in that. Sometimes it has a more sinister motivation, that it's not monetary, but it's actually an intention and a desire to do harm and to cause stress and distress to children. So people are, I mean, the internet can be a great place with lots and lots of pro-social benefits, but this is an insight into the darker side of the internet, and there is a dark internet out there. And I think as parents, it's hard to keep on top of it. And in one way, Valerie, it's quite easy to say, gosh, well, you know, I don't really get all that stuff. Gaming isn't my thing. But if we're putting digital devices into our children's hands, it is incumbent on us to be absolutely informed as to what's out there, how can it be accessed, and steps that you can take to combat it.
Now, okay, most parents, I presume, at this stage, monitor their children's activity on social media.
Yes, I think a lot of parents do. I don't think all parents do, and I certainly don't think we're doing it all the time with our children. I think what you don't want your children feeling, that they're under scrutiny and that you're spying on them and there's no trust. It's more about creating a relationship of open communication where they come to you, that you tell them that there is a code of conduct in using digital devices in our family. If I have the right to go and have a look at what you're looking at, if I see something I'm worried about, I'm going to come and talk to you about that. If you see something scary, or I would keep it very accessible for children because some of them are very young accessing this, I would say if you get anything that gives you that uncomfortable uh-oh feeling, that's a sign you come to mom and dad that you are not in trouble. You will not be in trouble for coming to us, but we'll be able to help you to work it out. So I think it's about keeping those lines of communication really, really open. Mm-hmm. And as I said, to keep up to date with what children are doing and looking up on websites and apps, a little bit like you started there saying that mom messaged the other parents.
Yes.
To say, look, this is a thing. I think parents can help each other by communicating and saying, are you aware of this? A lot of parents are probably listening going, hadn't heard of this at all. Others going, yes, it's happened in my school. So people will have various levels of exposure and experience with this. So I think that, you know, it's really about being aware of what kids are looking at. Mm. And what a game like this can bring.
This child was 9 or 10, and what the mother said to me was the child was absolutely petrified by it.
But the image is quite scary, if any, you know, if you've seen it.
I've seen it, but I don't think the image is that scary, because kids are looking at scary images in cartoons. I mean, look at all the cartoons you've got. What, people with an eye in the middle of their forehead and God knows what else. And I actually think it bears quite a resemblance to Munch's The Scream.
I think though with the a lot of the characters children look at with the one eyes, the monsters, they're different colours and accompanied by music. There's a whole sensory piece around it that gives them those nonverbal cues. This is safe, this is okay. This image is quite haunting in terms of it popping up if you're watching a cartoon and suddenly that's in your face unexpectedly. I think for a young child that could be quite scary. I also think though that it's a sign of the problematic content that's out there. And to be honest, there is always going to be problematic content. All we can do as parents is to prepare our children to deal with the things that they see. Because you can't get, as soon as, you know, this Momo challenge is gone, it will be something else. It will be a something else after that. So it's the fact that this is seeking to apparently target children, that's actually very, very distressing. It's the fact that it's encouraging children to self-harm and to move towards suicide, that it's that side of it that's actually very, very serious. But I think, you know, be it something online, be it something they hear in school, be it something they see on TV, whatever it is that they get exposed to, we want to ensure that we are the people they come to talk about it, not mm-hmm. the internet, and that they don't feel that they've done something wrong by viewing this or that they are in trouble if they come and tell you that. It has to be about keeping the lines of communication open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've just got a call in now from a parent who says, "Hi Valerie, this is so scary for children. Thanks for informing us. I'll be talking to my children tonight. Technology is amazing, but it can be so dangerous. And as well as that, I see the Gardaí have now issued a warning about it to parents."
They have, yeah. I saw that this morning as well. And again, it's great that, you know, people are making everybody aware, so that sometimes we can be quite reactive. You know, parents, you know, we're trying to fix the problem after it's already happened. Well, my child's already seen this. My child has already been exposed. Mm-hmm. Now what do I do? Whereas I think, you know, the Gardaí issuing a warning is twofold. It gives us a cue as to how serious this is, but also it's about, let's have this conversation now in a proactive, positive way, so that you're, like that caller just said, that you're sitting down with your children and saying, okay, so I was listening to the radio, I heard about this thing called the Momo Challenge. Do you know what that is? Have you ever heard of it? And have a conversation that isn't like, listen to me now, if you see this, this is what you're to do or not to do, but actually keep it more, find out what they already know about it. Mm-hmm. Have they seen it? Do they know anyone who has seen it? And then make a plan and say, you know, sometimes things come up online or people might try to make contact with you who don't know you, and that's never okay.
Yes.
And here's what we do in this family, and give them three simple steps. You come straight away to tell us, we take your device, you won't be in trouble, we'll deal with it.
And Jamison, you're pronouncing it Momo, that's probably the correct pronunciation. I thought it might be a play on the word mom or mommy, you know.
Well, it could be. It could indeed. That's the only way I've heard it pronounced. It could indeed be something like that. It's hard to know what tactics people who produce this content are using.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important that, you know, there are people behind this content as well. Like, somebody has put this together. It is absolutely a form of cyberbullying. I think that's also why the Gardaí are getting involved in issuing statements, because it is, you know, it's reaching out, trying to make contact with a child, asking them to contact through social media.
Yeah, and
sites.
Can I ask you, Joanna, when they make that contact, now obviously
yes.
I don't want you to give me any graphic detail, but what sort of things are they being asked to do? Are they simple challenges in the beginning? Or, you know, does it lead on? What way does it work?
Yeah, I mean, generally how these work, this one and others like it, is that there is something fairly fun and engaging initially. You know, oh, try this, like a dare. But something that's mild to moderate level of risk and kind of thrill-seeking and fun, and then it very quickly builds up to performing a series of significantly more dangerous tasks that include self-harm.
That's horrific. Do we know where it's coming from, no?
No, certainly not as yet, or certainly I don't. I haven't heard that as yet, and I've been trying to keep informed on this because obviously I work in this area, so I tend to, you know, get a lot of calls from parents who are concerned about this as well, or young people who have seen it, because I just think I don't want it to move parents into a place of extreme hypervigilance in that, oh my gosh, you can't go near a screen, you can't go. It's more important that we teach our children how to engage responsibly and what to do when, not if, but when, they come across content that makes them uncomfortable or a stranger is asking to engage with them. That if anyone wants to be their friend or connect with them online, it's important that they come to their parents first and say, I've had this friend request. Yeah.
That's very, very sensible advice, Joanna. But now that I've got you there, can I ask you about something entirely different? We've got a report this morning that parents are being driven to tears because hundreds of children are having to wait over a year for vital speech and therapy appointments. How important are these appointments?
Oh, they're vital. I mean, it's just so sad when I hear things like that. And it's not just speech and therapy, you know. It's quite pervasive across the public health system that children who need occupational therapy, speech and language, psychology, the child and adolescent mental health services, the CAMHS service, as it's called, so those would be child psychiatric and psychological services as well. They are all completely under-resourced and inundated with demand. So the waiting lists can be up to 2 years. And I think, you know, if you're a parent, that's very frustrating. But if you're a young person, it just makes me feel sad at the missed opportunity, because we know from all of the research and studies that the early intervention is best. So that if you can get in very, very quickly and give a child the services they need, you are essentially got a much stronger chance of returning them to the, you know, typical path of development that they need to be on. So that their general development, be it social, emotional, psychological, and, you know, in terms of their left brain development and language skills and acquisition, that it's not, you know, impeded for a period of time that goes on, we know, to affect school performance, self-esteem, peer relations, confidence. It's a whole across the board. So it's never just as simple as speech and language or occupational therapy. It's everything else.
We're talking about something that could have a severe impact on the child's development in the future.
Yes, their physical and, you know, brain development in terms of the motor skills, fine and growth, but also their psychosocial development in terms of self-esteem and confidence. And so in one way, you know, a delay in one service could lead you to need another service down the road to deal with those knock-on effects. It's an ongoing thing. This isn't new that these waiting lists are there.
I'm just looking at some of the information that came in. This was as a result of a parliamentary question asked by Sinn Féin spokesperson for has Louise O'Reilly. And what they're saying here is, you know, the widespread delays, really. And there is a postcode lottery. The situation is not good in any area, but it's very bad in places like Mayo, North Dublin, Donegal and Galway.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I think in one way, knowledge is power. The fact that we know that should alert our services, our central health service, that what we need to be doing is recruitment drives in those key areas where there's already further delays on top of national
delays. Oh dear, that's another entirely different story, isn't it? Joanna, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
That's clinical psychotherapist Joanna Fortune.